Let's go.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Don Cherry's Grapevine Podcast. Dad, this is Victoria Weekend.
It'll soon be changed.
I was going to say, that Victoria, how did that name stay around so long?
I would call, instead of Queen Victoria, we should call it Multicultural Day. That'll be a good one. Whatever that means.
Because before, what was the other one changed from? Dominion Day to
Canada Day.
So Victoria's on the block, I'm sure.
Yes. Queen Victoria, when her husband died, she wore black after.
She wore black for the rest of her life. Albert, I think it was his name. And he was a handsome guy. She wasn't bad. Mm. But he was like a movie star. And he died young. And she wore black for the rest of her
And that's the Victoria era came in after that, right?
Yeah.
They named that era after
her. And they, at one time, how do we get started on this? At one time, the sun never sat on the British, it never ever sat. It was somewhere Britain-owned part of.
Yeah, that's what they would say. The sun would never set on the British Empire.
Yeah.
Oh, that's got to go.
Let's stop that. All right.
The playoffs have started. And so now lots been talking about the code with the Foligno fight. And what's your take on that now?
Had to do it. It wouldn't put Simmons out there because it's been too obvious. Foligno's the guy. You put out your captain, even though he didn't mean it. I still say Perry did not mean to bang him on the top, back of the head. Anyhow, Foligno had one out there, and I could read lips pretty good. And he said, I didn't mean to hit him. I didn't mean to hit him. This is Perry talking. He said, well, some of the guys think you did. And he says, it doesn't make any difference. You put our captain out. Somebody's got to stand up. You know, it's a funny thing. You can't win in this world, because if somebody hadn't stood up to him, they would have said, there's the Leafs. The captain's put out and taken off in a stretcher. Nobody stands up to him. Foligno stood up to him. And it was pretty good. Perry, I'm 90% sure he did not mean to hurt him that bad. And Perry's not that type of guy. He's tough.
Well, they played junior together, I think, in London.
Did they?
Yeah, and they were on a world junior team together.
Nah,
they didn't. Just talk about Tavares quickly. Remember, he was in the prospect game. He was on the other team.
Oh, yeah, on the other team.
And he went into the corner and some guy really crunched him.
Yeah, hurt his shoulder.
It hurt his shoulder. And then in the newspaper the next day, it says, Don Cherry sent a guy out to hurt John Tavares.
Yeah.
It was
in a prospect game?
Yeah, in a prospect game, I'm getting blamed.
See what happens with reputations, Dad. We're going to talk about reputations.
Well, I never ever sent anybody out to hurt anybody, especially in the prospect game. And I Foligno stood up. He had to stand up, and he's saying, I didn't mean to hit him. And
right.
He said, it doesn't matter. Some guys on the team, I'm here. You put our captain out. And
the one good thing, though, it was good that Perry kind of dropped the gloves.
Well, he was ready to go.
Because if he didn't, and he would have turtled, it would have made things a lot worse, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
He stood there, and he took it like a man, and he was...
He knew it was coming.
Yeah.
As soon as he saw Foligno out there, Foligno. By the way, Mike, his dad is Mike, eh?
Right. That's why we were talking.
We were talking about that, and Mike used to, after he'd get a goal. If a lot of you people remember, he used to jump in the air after he'd get a goal. Well, one time he scored a goal and he jumped in the air and I think he broke his ankle. He jumped in the air. Imagine after scoring.
Some of those celebrations, you wonder how more people
aren't
hurt.
Oh, he really jumped in the air.
Tim, I thought you made an interesting thing, because everyone watched, you know, the hit and him laying on the stretcher and all that, and when he was down, and saying how quickly they got him up, that you think maybe that's why he fainted. Like, it looked like he fainted.
Yeah.
And I thought he got up too fast.
You know what they said, too, was that he hurt his knee. They said he's got a knee injury. I think when he fell back, he fell back. But the one thing that, Dad, you and I were talking about was that, you know, we don't see it a lot, but occasionally when we go out and watch minor hockey, you see a kid that's hurt, right? And they shoo everybody away.
Well, they want the air.
And there's the kid lying on the ice.
Very seldom that happens.
In the Greater Toronto Hockey League, if a kid's hurt like that, they just put a blanket on him and wait till the ambulance comes.
Well, when I played, even when I wasn't captain, I was always the guy that went, and I always wanted one of the, I was hurt a few times on the ice, and I always wanted somebody near me say, no, you know, you're all right. Don't worry about it. Even though you weren't all right, you don't worry about it. And I don't know why they don't have the captain.
Well, remember the one time that I think Ty hit someone and the guy was down the ice and they checked his pulse. You went crazy. Remember that? Checking their pulse on the ice.
Yeah, that was Ty hit Niedermeyer.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I said, oh boy, when they check his pulse, I said.
That's not a good sign.
That was coach's corner. I was on coach's corner. I said, when Ty knew, when he saw him check his pulse, I said, he knew he was in deep trouble. When he checked his pulse, I never heard of it. And I don't know. I've never seen that before.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been with a few guys. You know, I remember I was in the ambulance twice, and I was with a guy named Tuffy Hall. And that's how Tuffy was. His name was Tuffy Hall. His name was Wayne, I think, and they called him Tuffy. And they had a – can I tell – I'm going to tell a story. I got a million things to talk about. But I remember the injury, that it was a new thing out, and I thought it was great. It was something you could strap on your knee like a rubber thing. And it had you attach it to the shower, and you had the hot water. You could have the hot water if you had a sore knee, and the hot water was really good. And I never forgot, Bob Sabourin went in, and he flushed the toilet. Well, when he flushed the toilet, he took all the cold water, and it burnt the guys, and you cannot believe.
So the Tuffy Hall had, like, that was all steaming hot water going
steaming
on
hot
his,
water
on his
was,
leg.
Pure hot water was going on his, and he... You know how when you panic like that, he didn't get it off on time and screaming. And I remember being in the ambulance with him and, looking at his knee. And you know what's the funny thing? When a guy is being, when he's really hurt or he's really scared, the thing he always says is his mother, mom, mom.
Well, they say that in war too, don't they?
Yeah, I think soldiers when they're shot. But... I remember in the ambulance, he was going, mom, mom. He's calling his mom. Anyhow, that's the injuries. But I want to talk about the...
Let's just talk about the Leafs and the Habs. So you were just saying Montreal was happy.
Here's what happens. When I was in Boston, we were always in first spot. So it never, ever happened to us. We always had to win our games at home. But when I was on with other Cubs, we always said we have to win one game in their building. If you don't win one game, you're not going to win because they'll win at home. So that's what happened with Canadians. They were sky high and they got the shorthanded goal. That was what a shorthanded goal. I never saw a shorthanded goal like that before. And they were sky high. In the second game, I could have made a small fortune. I knew the Leafs would win. Anyhow, it was that the power plays were in that game? Six for Toronto and one for Canadians. And I'm going to go over these here over a little later. But I got a whole, you, a whole bunch of things you wrote down, and I wrote down as it went along. Now, I don't think that Dubas should have said anything about the paper.
No, I guess people that don't know that the Toronto Sun had a picture of Tavares and it said Captain Crunch on it, which was... I kind of laughed, but.
But here's the deal, when I coached, I always listen. They have to sell papers, and I when I was in Boston, we had super writers. I used to say things sometimes I should have been fired for, and they'd protect me. And they were good. They were really good. I would do interviews for them late at night and the whole deal. And you don't give papers heck, because if Toronto ever gets beat out. I'm not saying that Sun will be mean or anything, but I'll tell you one thing, boy. You don't give you cannot win with the papers because they have the last word. I knew the first two games were too good. The crowd was going nuts, or if the crowd was there and TV and everything. But let me just give you and that deal with Kadri. I knew. That was a pretty good hit, a little high, but I never dreamed he'd ever get eight games. Holy smokes! And that's a deal, that's a leftover from Wilson, who got nothing, which he did nothing. But I figured, never dreamed. That's 16 games in the playoffs.
Yeah, they said that he can appeal, so he's thinking of appealing it.
Well, I don't know, boy. I mean,
but when they give guys fines, reputations do come
well,
into
he,
it, don't
it,
they?
Well, he's a repeat offender.
Is that what it is? Repeat offender.
That's what they call him. Repeat offender. And he was saying, if you looked at the thing, he said, I didn't mean to hurt him. He hit him pretty good.
Well, people are saying it was late. It wasn't a late hit.
The guy shot, bang, he come over. A little high, that's the only thing. But 8 games. And that's a leftover from Wilson. Remember, they didn't give Wilson anything. But let me just give you the power plays. This is Saturday night. We're doing this Sunday morning. Tampa and Florida. That was a rough series, boy. It was a rough series. 7 power plays for Tampa, 5 for Florida. The Islanders and Penguins, they were going at it pretty good. 6 power plays for the Islanders, 1 for the Penguins. And by the way, some of the coaches are going on, and there's 3 of the coaches. There was Cooper.
Brindamore and...
Berube. Yeah. So anyhow, Maple Leafs...
Well, just to say, they went on and they were complaining about the penalties.
Well, they Maple Leafs, Maple Leafs had 6 power plays, and Canadians won. That's 25 power plays, and this is from Kadri hit, eh? And let's crack down. And the word never comes... You never hear... Don't think that the league says to the referees. The referees are pretty sharp. The first 2 games were terrific.
Well, you think that has to happen, though, because the first 2 games, they're not calling anything, and they're letting it go.
No chintzy penalties.
And then the 3rd game... all the referees are calling everything.
Everything.
So it's like, you know, what do they get together and have a phone call? But so you know they've been told.
They know. And Friday, if you want to go back to Friday, Nashville had 7 power plays and Carolina had 1. 7-1.
Yeah, that's when Brindamore got mad.
And, you know, 7-1. I mean, don't make it so obvious. And Winnipeg, they haven't found out there yet. A terrific hockey game. Edmonton had 3 power plays and Winnipeg had 2 power plays, which is pretty good. Avalanche had 4 power plays and the Blues had 3. So that's 45 power plays over the weekend. And before that, there was hardly any power plays. But the referees know. They're pretty sharp. They know the way the wind is going. They better start calling some penalties because some guys are getting hurt. But that was an accident. Like I said, an accident. Guys are getting hurt by accident.
Yeah, well, they. Some people were saying on the internet, oh, that was like Matt Cook on Savard. And it's like, you know, it's not, like, I don't think, I like, he might have hit him high, but I don't think.
He didn't mean to hurt him. He just meant to hit him.
He didn't say, oh, I'm going to go for his head. But, yeah.
Anyhow, I think it was too many 8 games, but that's the way the league when first 2 games were terrific. They're letting them play hockey and the players loved it. They were banging their boards and everything. And the thing they hate, but 7 to power plays. 7 power plays at Carolina 1.
So let me ask you, do you think that the players, if the referees are going to be calling a lot of penalties, right? And the players know it. Don't you think the players just get a little bit more sneakier in what they do? Because
they're just looking for it, though. I mean, they'll find it, right?
Yeah.
And they're calling the chintzy penalties, chintzy. What gets me is the chintzy hooking. I mean, hooking. Hooking is put a hook on you, hook the guy.
When you
back.
Were a coach, wasn't that you used to get the most angry was a hooking penalty?
Well, yeah, because the guy was behind. But
behind.
The hooking now, I mean, anyhow, that's my little thing. I'm not 45 power plays over the weekend. And I don't blame the coaches for being upset.
Dad, we'd like to thank our sponsors, Spreads.ca, a First Nations-owned casino and online sportsbook tailored for Canadians, which means you can use Canadian money. Sign up now and enter the promo Grapes, and you'll match your deposit up to $500. You get 15 spins on the big wheel for some big dough, and for your first bet, they'll spot you $25. That's Spreads.ca, and... Dad, I think if you bet on the Jets at the beginning of this thing, the Jets versus Oilers, if you bet on the Jets beating the Oilers, you would have got some good odds. But kind of an upset here. This is Sunday morning, so it's 2-0 for the Jets right now, and they played this afternoon.
Yeah, let's talk about the Jets because Paul Maurice was a guy that hung tough with them with all the injuries and guys quitting on him, Buffalo quitting on him. Jets averaged most block shots in the league so far with 20 block shots per game, which is pretty good. Jets averaged more hits than anybody in the game, which is 60.
60 hits a game they're averaging.
Yeah. But here's the one that I don't understand. McDavid is third on Edmonton in hits. I mean, I know he plays a lot of hockey, but I mean, third in the hits. I mean, what are the other guys doing? He's supposed to be the guy. He'll get a heck for not scoring. And I don't know. It's just Hellebuck is a guy that's, I mean, let's face it.
But it is a goaltending duel. I mean, both Smith and Hellebuck.
You know, Smith never had a chance on that goal, that overtime goal.
No.
I mean, the defenseman screened him, and he just stood there. What is he going to do?
Yeah, because he kind of looked at the defenseman. But, you know, the one thing, Dad, that, you know, I looked at that goal and a couple other goals, your big thing with the Bruins was always shoot from anywhere.
Anywhere.
And just get it on net.
Just put it on net because somebody would be crashing in the whole thing.
And you were always keep the shot low, right?
Oh, yeah, because then there'd be a rebound. Bobby Schmatz used to come in and aim at a guy's head. And
what's the term for that? Wasting a shot?
Waste a shot. And I remember, did I tell a story? I told a story that he came in and he wanted to be benched.
Right. You told a story. But, you know, getting back, just talk about shooting from anywhere. I remember that you the Bruins did. I mean, I think we were only next to Montreal with shots.
Yeah,
we were only behind. And the big game against LA in game five or game six, when Stan Jonathan came down just on the wing and just blasted it, and Rogie wasn't ready for it, and Rogie Vachon, and tied up the game.
Yeah, I think it hit him in the mouth or something like that. He got a hat trick anyhow.
No. That was in Montreal. Remember, we were in L.A.
Oh, yeah.
We were in L.A., and Stan came
down. Oh, that game? Yeah. Listen, let me tell you about that game. If we lose that game, I think we had to come back and win. And I remember somebody said, it's in! It's in! I almost fainted. Honest to God, I almost fainted. I went to my knees, and I think there was only, how much time was left?
There was about 4 minutes left, and then Greg Shepherd got the winner.
With Greg Shepherd, let me tell you about the winner. Dave Hutchison was the guy, and he was killing a penalty, and we weren't doing very good. And he thought he'd be a smart guy, Dave Hutchison. I seem to be picking on him. And he went to slap the puck, and he broke a stick. And the puck come right to Shepherd. And I remember this as plain as day. And Bobby Schmatz is a right-hand shot. And now that's 2-0. So I thought for sure, and Rogie thought for sure, that he was going to pass it over to Bobby Schmatz. And Bobby Schmatz sitting there twirling the stick.
Oh, I can imagine. Mm-hmm.
And by golly, he shot the puck. Greg Shepherd shot the puck and went in the top corner. And we won the game. I almost fainted. I honest to God, I almost fainted. You know, go underneath.
But that's your thing. You told, stand from a bad angle. Just
anywhere. Just shoot the puck.
And that's kind of like
Stasny. But I thought he was going to pass it that time.
Yeah, that one. And then Stasny. But then the other time you talked about just shooting the puck was going into, it was overtime in game one against Philly in the semifinals. And you told Ricky Middleton, get the puck and just shoot it on net.
That was a time when Freddie the Fog Shearle, for some reason, I'll never be able to figure this one out, he put in his extra goalie.
Well, he had Stevenson, and then he pulled Stevenson and put Bernie Perron in.
Yeah, and he was cold. It had to be cold. He sat there the whole period. So I called Ricky over. I said, look, the puck will come to you. If it comes to you, just flip it on, because he was a magic. He was magic with the puck. And that's what he did. He just got it. He just shot it on. And Bernie put the puck in his own net for the overtime goal. Mm-hmm. I remember that goal. I remember McLeish breaking his stick.
So they switched their goalie going into overtime.
I couldn't believe it. The only thing is that I think he must have been hurt or something. He sat there for – Bernie Perron sat there for three periods. He put him in, and Ricky Middleton just flipped it on. Boy, that was a big goal, boy.
Yeah, it was the first game. But, because you watch sometimes – like those guys, they pass too much. You know what I mean?
They think too much.
Well, I'm not an expert or anything, but I watch at Edmonton, and you said, why don't you just give it to McDavid and let him blast it? You know, have a guy, have Cassian stand in front of the net.
What was the story? Tell that story about when we were over in Europe, when Lafleur was on a breakaway with Mike Foligno.
I told that story. I'll tell it again, a quick one. So we were playing the Russians, and we were doing pretty good. It was the World Tournament in 82-81. And Guy Lafleur, it was a big upset. Edmonton beat Montreal. We thought Gretzky was coming over. And so we got Larry Robinson and Guy Lafleur, and we're playing the Russians. And it was 1-1, and with about 5 minutes to go, and it was a 2-on-none. Mike Foligno, so Nick's father of Nick, and Marcus, who plays for Minnesota. And he comes in on a breakaway with Guy, and Guy, they're passing back and forth, and Mike took the shot and put it about 10 feet over the net. So you were in the dressing room after, and you're saying to the guys, let's get going. And then as you walk out, you said, wait a minute. You said, Mike, how many goals did you get last year? 15. Guy, how many goals did you get last year? 60. So he says, all right, next time a 15-goal scorer is on a 2-on-none with a 60-goal score, the 60-goal scorer takes the shot, okay? And all the players just roared. And they thought that was pretty funny.
And we almost won.
Yeah.
But I'd like to talk about Hellebuck, too. Boy, he's the guy that you can't say enough about him. I know Mike Smith, the overtime goal, he couldn't see it. But Hellebuck is unbelievable. I mean, what, like holy smokes. He starts 70 of 70. Well, this is Sunday morning we're talking about. And that's goaltending. You hate going in against that guy because you know he's going to stand on his head, and he is standing on his head.
Okay, Dad, the Bruins and the Capitals. What's your take on that?
Well, the Bruins are up 3-1. Bruins' hits are 350 so far. McAvoy's playing unbelievable. He 5 points. I mean, it's unbelievable. Yeah. And Marchand, I mean, this guy is a magician. Every time he's on the ice.
Yeah, he just seems to get big goals, too. Yeah, winners and tires.
Remember the World Tournament, he got that big goal?
Yeah.
He just seems to... He'd be there all the time.
And you're right. Like I remember you were saying to him, he's got to play kind of like that little...
Goofy.
And he was kind of running at Ovechkin and pushing him. Ovechkin really blasted him, though. Marchand got him back. He is a phenom when it comes to the playoffs.
Boy, I tell you, he gets those important goals. Now, let's talk about the overtime goal. That was a strange one. And I've watched that quite a few times. Schultz was the defenseman.
For Washington,
yeah.
Yep.
And I think he thought that the defenseman, or the goaltender, Samsonov, was going to put it in the right-hand corner.
Yeah.
But he wasn't. He was going to leave it. And it wasn't anybody's fault because the goaltender, Samsonov, thought he was going to keep right on coming. And he didn't. He turned to the right. And the Bruin picked it up and put it in the net. Now, that's not... You don't holler. The guy feels bad enough as it is. You think the goaltender did it on purpose? And it showed after him yelling at somebody. I think he was hollering in Russian.
Ovechkin started yelling at the goalie coming
Ovi. I call him Ovi. And he was, and you know, he wanted to win too, but you leave the goaltenders alone. And you know, I'm watching the next game, and he's over on that right-hand side, and he can really blast them. They had an opportunity, and I know it sounds ridiculous, but they had an opportunity to put the puck over there, and they didn't. And he's dancing over there with a stick in the air. And
so you truly believe, and you've seen it, that if players on their own team don't like another player or have reason, they won't pass?
No, goaltender. You have to be very careful with goaltenders. And
But I mean, you've seen it where other players won't pass to another player because they don't.
Well, like I remember when I played for Rochester, Jimmy Papin, and he's going streaking down the right-hand side, and if he didn't get the puck, he'd go offside on purpose.
Well, that's even worse.
He did it. We all knew he was going to go offside, and he'd go right to the bench. And you know, he sent it in. But you don't give the goalies heck, though. I mean, he feels bad enough as it is. And I think Ovechkin wants to win so bad that he didn't mean to. But he was hollering at him. He didn't holler once. He kept it up at him. You just leave. And I watched the next game, and I saw him open, and they didn't pass him the puck. The right defenseman had it on the right side, and, you know, he put it over there. He didn't this time. So I leave if I have any advice to anybody, no matter how bad the goaltender is, leave them alone.
So, Dad, we'll talk now. The next one is the Hurricanes and the Predators, 2-1 for Canes. As you say, this is Sunday morning we're talking. And It's funny to see all the fans in the stands in the U.S., yeah. right? They had, what, almost 16,000 people there. So, but Matt Duchene got the winner in double overtime. And game just three. as you say, the guy, defenseman, got the puck, flipped it in the air, went right to his feet, and he walked in and scored a beauty.
Well, you know, Matt Duchene, he's always been one of my favorites, and he come through in the clutch for them. But I got to tell you a story. When I used to coach the prospect game, we were waiting, they were doing a day, and he was standing beside me. I didn't know, he was just a rookie, just a kid, maybe 17 years old.
17, huh? 18, yeah.
Yeah. So he says, you know, Mr. Cherry, he said, Coach's Corner saved my grandfather's life, and I'm going to tell this story. And I said, well, a Coach's Corner is good for something anyhow. And he says, no, let me tell you a story. My grandfather, the cows were mooing, and when they moo, they need to be milked.
And so this was in Cornwall.
Cornwall,
he's got a dairy farm. Yeah,
yeah, dairy farm. And his grandmother said, "Get out there and milk those cows." So he put on his jacket and he was on his way out. He said, "No, I'm going to watch Coach's Corner." So he take his jacket off, and he was watching Coach's Corner, and there was a big storm outside, and the farm collapsed right where he would have been standing. So Coach's Corner saved his grandfather's life. He told me that. Well, I says, well, Coach's Corner is good for something. But anyhow, I'm glad Matt Duchene, he's one of my favorites, and I'm glad he got the double overtime. And it's going to be tough to beat those guys. Well, Tim, we got to talk about the Islanders of Penn. It's 2-2 as we talk here in the morning. Yeah, it's funny. The Islanders lead the playoffs with 196 hits, I think it is. And Leo Komarov leads with 31 hits. He's the guy, the first guy that Leo Lamoriello went after, and then he went after Matt Martin.
Yeah, so the two guys that he took when he left Toronto, because there was who was going to be the GM, Dubas or Lamoriello. Lamoriello goes to the Islanders, and he takes Komarov and Martin, and now Komarov's leading the NHL in hits.
Well, they're 2-2 tie, and Tanev, I like that name, Tanev, is second in hits for Pittsburgh Penguins. With 29 hits, but I have to mention Jeff Carter, 36 years old, leads the Pens in goals, and he's dynamite in the faceoff too. He went close to 60% of the playoffs. So
yeah, because you mentioned him two shows ago. You said what pickups do you like? And you mentioned Carter because he's looking to prove something. And
well, he leads them in goals and. That's a dynamite series that we're talking Sunday morning. So they're tied 2-2. So, and the playoffs, well, we still got to watch the playoffs. I watch the playoffs, as you can see, pretty close. And I just hope the referees let up a little, that's all.
Yeah, just the one thing we want to talk, just two things I'd like to mention is we talked about the Blues and the Avalanche and Kadri and all that, but Philip Grubauer, we never told the story that the goalie for the Avalanche.
And playing terrific.
I think he's got a goals against average just over 1.5. He's from Germany, and when he was a little boy, he couldn't get NHL games over in Germany, so his father would get people to send over Rock'em Sock'em hockey tapes.
And you were the producer?
And he would watch the goalies. He would fast forward and just watch the goalie section, and he'd watch Felix Potvin was his favorite. And he said he used to flop on his bed, mimicking Felix Potvin saves and stuff like that. And that's how he got introduced to hockey and watching it was through Rock'em Sock'em.
A lot of guys from Sweden and that, they used to watch Rock'em Sock'em. Where did we go? 30 years, Tim. A long time.
And then the last one is Vegas and Wild. And boy, Fleury's just, unbelievable.
Fleury. I don't know. This guy, he gets better with age. I think, and that's why they're so good. They got a good goalie. He was number one pick, by the way.
Yeah.
And I bet you they wish they hadn't let him go. But he's playing absolutely terrific. And
well, the last game, the game four, the Wild outshot them 35-18, and they lost 4-0.
Yeah, and that's Fleury.
But the only thing
I had him in the prospect game, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I remember the goalie that played terrific, and we're going to put some French guy in, you know, what's his name? I said, Fleury. Oh, Fleury, Martin. And he was, put him in, he was dynamite. Yeah. And he is dynamite right now. And
the only thing about this playoffs, like the format that I think is a little bit I don't like, is I think the two best teams are Vegas and Colorado. And they're going to meet next round.
Yeah, one of them will be gone.
One of them will be gone after the second
round. So one of Washington and Boston will be gone. Doesn't seem to right to me the two best teams. I think the two best teams are Washington and Boston.
Well, that was the same as you with Boston and Canadians and that one time, and they were waiting. Who was it, New York or Philly was waiting
New
in
York.
The wings? New York.
Oh, we'll talk about that someday. That was good. But it seems a shame that one of them has to be gone because they're such good clubs.